turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and then Hebrews chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 9 and 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And then Hebrews 12 and 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen. And today, tonight I want to speak to you on this subject: finish strong. Finish strong. Amen. Can we pray together right now? Lord Jesus, I ask you to encourage us. I ask you to strengthen us, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts and our minds, oh God. Lord, that you would touch the people under the sound of my voice tonight, that you would minister to them, that you would challenge us all, Lord, that we would be everything that you have called us to be. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord? He is so good. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Finish strong. The Bible says that the race is not to the swift. It's not to the swift. It is nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, yet nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to all of them. What is the wise man, the writer of Ecclesiastes, trying to tell us? He's telling us that there is a race to be run and there is a fight to be fought. And it is not particularly those that are talented. It is not those that are fast. It is not those that are rich. It doesn't mean you have to have the right last name, the right kind of neighborhood. You don't have to drive the right kind of car. In fact, you don't have to have a car at all. But what he's saying is that time and chance happens to everyone. The Bible says in the New Testament that it rains on the just and the unjust. Everyone has challenges, right? And we as human beings, we like to point to other people as excuses why we don't do something, right? We learned this at a very young age. Well, he didn't do it. Well, they didn't, or they did this, or they did that. You know, my dad always used the great cliche. He said, well, if they jump off a building, you're going to jump off too, you know, all of those. And so what the wise man is trying to get across to us is that time and circumstance happens to everyone. There is trouble in every life. It is just the way it is. In fact, the Bible says life is just a few days and it's full of trouble. But it's not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens to you. Amen. You can clap for that. That's right. Come on. Amen. It's not your circumstance. It's not your situation, because there are no excuses when we meet the Lord in judgment. There will be no excuse where he says, oh, okay, I understand why you didn't serve me. It's not going to happen. There's no excuses. And so everyone has challenges. That's why the Bible also says that it's not wise for us to compare ourselves among ourselves, because sometimes someone's circumstance from the outside may look better than it really is. Right? Right? The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence or on top of the septic tank. You know, I've heard that too. So be careful how you judge someone else's situation. And don't allow someone's faithfulness or lack of faithfulness or their circumstance to be an excuse while you don't have to do it, while you don't have to serve God. We have got to finish strong. And so we are in this race, and those that reach the end, the Bible says, the same shall be saved. We must endure all the way to the end, whether you have blessing or whether it seems like cursing, whether you're high or whether you're low, whether you've got a great circumstance or you feel like everything's going against you, that's all right. Just get up, dust yourself off, and live for God. You've got to stay faithful. You've got to do what God has called you to do, because our soul is the most important thing in our life. If we gain the whole world and lose our soul, young people, listen to me tonight. If you gain the whole world, if you had fame and you had money and you had cars and houses and all the things that this life has to offer, but you lose your soul, all of that is not worth what you gain in the church, the things that you gain in the everlasting life that you have in the kingdom and in Jesus is worth so much more than what the world has to offer. Amen. Let's clap our hands. Now, I've been around enough people to know that excuses are in vast supply. Right? Excuses are in vast supply. And I've noticed that people that are given to excuses, they have no trouble finding them. They're everywhere. Well, I can't do it because of this. You know, that's what the Bible says. Well, I married a wife. You know, he blamed his wife. I've got to go bury my loved one. I bought some land. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And so there's always an excuse. But I've also observed in my life that people that are faithful are just faithful. And I've observed that faithful people have busy schedules. They have family problems. They have health issues. They have daily challenges. Guess what? They have excuses why they don't have to serve God, or they can't be there, or they can't do something. They have excuses. They just don't allow them to become excuses for not being faithful. Amen. And so the difference between faithful and unfaithful, it's not the circumstances, because I've seen people with health issues be faithful. I've seen people that lived alone be faithful. I've seen people that married and they had a struggling marriage, and their spouse was hard to deal with and trouble all the time, and they were still faithful. I've known people that had money and they were faithful. I've known people that didn't have money and they were faithful. And so every circumstance is still, it gives us the ability to still be faithful. It doesn't really matter what's going on in our lives. We can still be faithful. And so in this race, we have got to be disciplined, because you can't be a disciple without discipline. And I know it's not a popular message tonight, but we have got to finish strong. And I promise that if you will give yourself completely and totally to the kingdom, that God is going to do some miraculous things in your life. Amen. Praise God. Let me talk to these young people just for a minute. I'll tell you, this is the greatest time in your life. And I remember being your age about 1,000 years ago. And I'll tell you what I always did, and I regret it. When I was 10, I couldn't wait to be 13. And when I was 13, I couldn't wait to be 16. And when I was 16, I couldn't wait to be 18. And when I was 18, I couldn't wait to be 21. And when I was 21, I couldn't wait to get married, and didn't wait very long after that. And got married, and then we couldn't wait to have kids, and then we couldn't wait to do this, couldn't wait. You almost dream your life away. And so this is not really in my notes and this is not my message today, but I want you to know the freedom that you have right now, I know you don't feel it because you feel like you got rules and you got school and you got homework and all that. But I tell you, this is the greatest time in your life and you can live for God right here, right now. In fact, you have freedom. You have freedom. You could start saving money right now. And first of all, you should be saving money anyway. I wish I would have. This is not a financial seminar, but you need to save money, right? Get your parents, gather 50 bucks together, get your parents to go start you a savings account. And every now and then, you just go by there and put something in it and forget it. That's some good advice. Man, that's some good preaching right there. Come on now. But more than that, listen, you're single. You're free. You can save money. And you're not. You can save money to go on an apostolic youth corps trip. And it will change your world. Guess what? Let me tell you, once you get married, those kind of things will become near impossible. This is not in my notes, but you need to hear this. Because if you're going to go to Bible college, if you want to go on the mission field, even just temporarily, you better do it now. Start raising money now and plan to go when your parents say you can go. Amen. I'll help you. I'll sign your paperwork. I will give you some money toward your trip. Why? Because I know that missions transforms people's lives. And so right now you need to plan because you're in this to live for God. And I don't care if you go to college. I want you to go to college. I want you to do the best you can. But I would rather see you live for God and do something for the Lord than to live in the biggest house in town. Amen? Come on. And you have the freedom now. Plan for it. Plan for it. Pray about it. Invest yourself in the kingdom. Guess what? You don't even have to. You don't have to be 16. You don't have to be 18 to do something for God. We've got places right around here that we can plug you into working. And there's nothing greater than working for the Lord. You can do something for the Lord around here. Amen. You can serve coffee. You can minister to people. You can help people. You can pick up trash. You can do anything. And there is nothing better than serving the Lord. Invest yourself. The way to finish strong is you put your whole heart into it. When someone trains for the Olympics, it is their life. It is not some hobby that they have. Amen. It's not something they, I think on Monday I'm going to go run a little bit. No. It is every single day. And this life that we are living, this powerful, beautiful, Holy Ghost-filled, blood-bought life that we have the privilege of living, this is not, oh, my parents take me to church. This is not that. This is, hey, my parents take me to church. Amen. I get to be a part of a youth group. I get to worship God. I get to be a part of the greatest thing going because I have news for you that when it's all said and done, the only thing that's going to be standing is the church, is the kingdom of God. Everything else is going to burn up. And so if you're going to invest yourself in something, young people and old people alike, you invest yourself in the kingdom. Give yourself to the will and purpose of God, and you will be blessed. Amen. Time and circumstance happens to everyone. Life is a few days and full of trouble, but don't be hindered in your walk with God. Don't let anything get you off course. Don't let anything distract you from the kingdom because I tell you, the world has nothing to offer. Our world is going absolutely insane right now. And if you think the chaos that's going on in Washington, D.C. is not a spiritual battle, then you're lying to yourself. It is a spiritual battle going on right now. The spirit of the Antichrist is rising up and angry and writhing because there's revival in the land. Amen. God is in this place. And anything the enemy can do to silence the church, he will. Amen. So don't be hindered. Galatians 5:7 says something very sad. It says, you did run well. That's past tense. You did run well. Who did it hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And so tonight, I ask us, what's hindering you? Who's hindering you? Is it a circumstance? Is it a person? Is it your own thought process? Is it your life and your the plight of your life, and you're allowing it to hinder you? But I'm encouraging someone tonight to finish strong. Finish strong. I don't know how much longer we have. All I know is I look at the signs of the times, and I think, well, surely it can't be much longer. It's just growing worse and worse and worse, and the world is going crazy, and things are falling into place. But you know what? Between now and then, whether it's a year, whether it's 10 years or 20 years, it really doesn't matter to me. I want to pace myself to finish. Amen. I'm going to pace myself to finish. I got in this to win this. I didn't get in this to stop. I'm not going to take an exit ramp. I'm not going to find something that's easier, but I'm going to keep on running. I've got my eye on a prize, and I can't wait to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We've got to finish strong. Amen. We as a church, we are entering our greatest days right now. As I preached about Sunday night, the glory of the latter house is greater than the glory of the former house. We are in our greatest days, and we have got to teach, and we have got to push, and we have got to preach. We've got more daughter works to start, Brother Williams. We got more missionaries to send. Oh, we've got more, and we're going to finish strong. Amen. I want to be burned out for the kingdom. I want to make it all the way. I want to give my life for this thing. Amen. That's right, Sister Shiloh. You tell them. Come on, she's already wanting to go to the altar and cry. Amen. But I tell you, I want to give myself to this thing because I recognize that this invisible thing that we call the kingdom of God is the only thing that is going to last. Amen. If you want to invest yourself in something that really matters, invest yourself in the church. Invest yourself in winning souls. Invest yourself in teaching a Bible study. Invest yourself in driving a church van. Invest yourself in riding along with some rider in the church van. Invest yourself in outreach and follow up. And give yourself to the kingdom. I have yet to see one person backslide from the heat of the battle. I have yet to see one person lose out with God from a hot, Holy Ghost-filled prayer meeting. Amen. I have yet to see one person that was all in just wake up one day and said, "I'm out." No. You're invested. You're in the boat. You don't poke holes in the boat when you're in the boat. Amen. You row the boat. We are here to finish strong. We're in a race, and so we discipline ourselves. And guess what? This race is not to the fast, thank God. I used to be fast. I'm not fast anymore. Amen. My fast looks like slow-mo. I'm coming. That's my fast. My jump is just, I'm doing good to clear the ground. I mean, come on now. I know it looks like I work out, but I don't. But you know what? The race is not to the swift. The fight is not to the strong. We're not looking for winners. We're looking for finishers. Amen. We're not looking for the fastest. We're looking for finishers. We're not looking for those that can run fast. We're looking for those that can run faithful. Amen. Because when you reach the end, we're all going to receive a prize. Amen. My Bible says that if you start early or if you start late, it doesn't matter when you start. As long as you start and finish, everybody gets the same pay. Come on. He paid the same the same pay to the 11th hour workers as he did the 6 a.m. workers. Amen. It's not to the swift, it's not to the strong, it's not to the intelligent, it's not to ones that have it all together, but it's those that can just endure, just plod, just make it. Amen. Don't be hindered. Don't be hindered. The Bible says in Mark 13:13, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Oh, people will hate you. Haters going to hate, right? They're going to hate. They're not going to like you. They're not going to like your lifestyle. They're going to think you're a stick in the mud. They're going to think you're a nerd. They're going to think you're some holier than thou Christian, and all you want to do is go to church. Yeah. You know? Come on now. If the world was flooding and there was one boat, Noah, I'd want to get on it. I'd be obsessed about getting to it. I couldn't wait to get in the door. I would stay in there. If it even looked like rain, I'd go inside. I'm telling you, we're not crazy. They're crazy. Amen. Everybody else thought Noah and his family were crazy until the first drop hit them in the forehead. And they said, uh-oh. And it was too late then. And so they may look at you. They may not like you. They may think you're crazy. Why do you go to church 3 times a week? Why do you go to prayer meeting? Why do you live this way? Why do you talk that way? Why don't you go here? And why don't you do that? And why are you always talking about God? And why are you always wanting a Bible study with me? Why are you trying to reach me? And you're saying, hey, I'm running. I'm running because I've got to finish strong, because I know that if I endure till the end, the same shall be saved. So don't let people hinder you. Don't let your circumstance hinder you. Don't let your life hinder you, but give yourself to the kingdom. Amen. The first thing you need to do is keep your goal in sight. Keep your goal in sight. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm keeping my goal in sight. And then run with purpose. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. The one that received the prize, that's a worldly race, but a godly race, everybody receives the prize as long as you endure till the end. Number 3, it takes daily discipline. This walk with God we have is who we are. It's not a hobby we pick up every now and then, right? When I used to have golf clubs before I sold them, I gave up on my lifelong dream of being on the PGA Tour. I'm kidding. This never was. Anyway, praise God. But before that, you know what? I would pick up golf clubs once a year sometimes, maybe twice a year, maybe 3 at the most. I just never played. And so I couldn't expect to be good because I didn't play. And so people would ask me, they would say, well, are you a golfer? You know, they first thing, you know, it's a cliche. They think preachers are golfers and like fried chicken. And I do like fried chicken, so it's a stereotype, but that's all right. Amen. My dad always said the reason I knew I was called to preach is because I woke up at noon with a craving for chicken. You'll get that later. You'll get that. Just let that sink in. But people would ask me, so, well, are you a golfer? I said, no, I have golf clubs. Why? Because a golfer has to play golf, right? A golfer is improving. I was never a golfer. I played golf. I had golf clubs, but I was horrible. I couldn't tell it where to go. I couldn't make it go where it was supposed to go, right? I was playing with a guy one time, and he was worse than I was, which I can't even imagine that. It was, and so he's lining up, and he said, which way should I aim? And he'd already hit every house in the neighborhood. And so he bent over that thing, and I said, brother, I don't think it matters. Just he said, oh, I can't believe you said that. And that's the way I felt. It really didn't matter where I aimed. You know, it would go like this, and so I would turn this way, so it would go that way, you know, and then it would, anyway. It just never, I was never a golfer because I didn't play. You got to play to get better. And so who we are. We are Christians. It's not something we pick up. It's not a hobby we do every now and then. It's not something we pick up on Sunday morning and lay down on Sunday night. Amen. But it's who we are. It's who we are every day. It's daily discipline. We are Christians. It permeates every relationship we have. It permeates how we act at school and how we act at the job and how we talk to others and how we treat others. And it affects our social media and it affects every area of our life. Because if it doesn't, then you don't really have it. Amen. Or you can get it. But if it doesn't affect every area of your life, you don't really have it. It takes daily discipline. Mark 8 and 34 says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." 2 Timothy 2 and 4 says, "No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier." We discipline ourselves. We lay down some things and we pick up some things. Amen. So don't be distracted. Number four, don't be distracted. Be determined. I think I said it a few weeks ago. I was talking about marriage counseling. And the first thing I always tell a couple when they come and sit in my office, I said, first of all, right now, if we're going to go forward, if we're ever going to meet again, I want you to close all the exit ramps. Take the D word out of your life. I don't want to hear divorce ever again. I don't want you to say it to them. I don't want you to say it to me. I don't want you to say it to your friends. I don't want you to say it to your mama, your daddy. Amen. Close the exit ramps. And that's the way we need to be in church. We got to close the exit ramps. We got to remove the excuses. Say, hey, I know that I may not be everything I want to be, but I'm trying. Amen. I may not be there yet. Paul said, I haven't apprehended that which have apprehended me. I haven't reached the goal. I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep putting my body under subjection. I'm going to keep girding up the loins of my mind. I'm going to keep being what I need to be for God. Even if I fall, I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep walking. Amen. You've got to determine. Leaving the church and backsliding is not an option. Amen. Take backsliding out of your conversation. Take quit out of your conversation. It is not an option. I am determined to hold out to the end. I am going to make it all the way with Jesus. And so I determine in my heart that I am going to serve God. So young people, you don't have to go in the world to think, hey, well, that's, I need to go back to the church. You don't have to do that. You can stay right here and live for God your whole life. I pray that when you're 47 like I am, that you can look back and you can say, hey, I never knew one day without the church. Oh, I had my ups and downs. I had my troubles. But I stayed. I stayed. Well, people talked about me and didn't treat me right. Well, that's all right. I stayed. Oh, I got an adverse report from the doctor. Yeah, but I stayed. Amen. Everything wasn't going my way, but I stayed. Praise God. There's nothing like being faithful. And I promise, if you want a good home, a good marriage, a good life, you stay in the church. Live the principles of Scripture. Amen. Because as my pastor always told me, if truth gets you in trouble, truth will get you out of trouble. Stay with the truth. Stay with God. And He will always lead you out. Even in the valley, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Amen. Stay with him. Be determined. Don't give up. Don't be distracted. Galatians 5 and 7, we read it already. You did run well, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You got to watch out what you got to be careful what you allow in your life, because it will affect you. Be careful what kind of people you run with. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Be careful what kind of media you watch and you listen to and read, if you still do that. James 1 and 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Amen. Matthew 24 and 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Number five, and I've already said it, be careful who you run with. Because your friends will determine your destiny. Amen. It's all right to have people that you're kind to, that you have a relationship with, because you're trying to affect them. You're trying to influence them. But once you allow them to influence you, the tables have turned. And they will take you the wrong direction. So be careful. 1 Peter 4 and 3 says, for this time, past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine and revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot and evil and speaking evil of you. But who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? They may think it strange that you won't run with them, that you won't tell their jokes, that you won't go to their parties. But oh, I tell you, we're not trying to please them. I've got to give an account to the one that is going to judge me. Amen. Number six, follow those that have gone before us. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run. Let us run. There is people that have been through what you have been through. In fact, the book of Hebrews tells all the wonderful people that did all the great things, you know. They wrought righteousness and they caused the armies to flee and all the things that they did. But then it says down to the end, it says, and the others, they loved not their life. And they died not receiving the promise. But you know what? They did receive the promise. They didn't receive it in this life. Maybe they had a hard time in this life. They were persecuted in this life. But oh, when they crossed the finish line, when they crossed that finish line, the crowd went, ah, yeah. Come on now. There is a great cloud of witnesses. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I go through. Oh, somebody does. Somebody made it. Well, I lost a loved one. Well, somebody did too, and they're still faithful. Well, I lost my job. Well, somebody lost their job, and they stayed faithful. Well, my spouse left me. Well, there's been some people lose their spouse, and they kept being faithful. Amen. For every excuse we can find, there's somebody that endured what you're going through. Amen. For every situation. So follow those that have gone on before us. Number seven, run with patience. Hebrews 12 and 1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Galatians 6 and 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'll tell you what you need to do if you're going to be successful in the kingdom, both old and young, not just speaking to the young people tonight. You've got to listen to the right voices. And you've got to ignore the voices of doubt. Amen. Not only those exterior voices. I don't know about you, but I have voices in my head that tell me you can't, you won't, you never have. You won't accomplish all the things that you've set out to accomplish. Why are you stretching here? Why are you trying to do that? Why are you trying to plant a church way of life north? Why are you doing that? Well, because everybody that lives there could drive here. Yeah, they could. But there's some people that won't drive here. Amen. Why are you sending money to Africa for the Sims? Why are you supporting the favors? Why are you certain missionaries? And so the enemy starts talking to you, right? You got to listen to the right voices. And some people, all they do is listen to negativity. And people have spoken into their life so often, you can't, you won't, you're dumb, you're a loser, you're unfaithful, you'll never be anything more than what you always have been, that's all they can hear. But tonight I'm telling you, you got to put it down and you got to listen to the right voice. You got to listen to the right voice. You need to encourage yourself in the Lord. Let the Lord's word speak to you. Let your pastor speak to you. Amen. Amen. One of my favorite things to say and to hear, I've heard it in my life too. And I say it in sincerity. I don't say it in just frivolously. But I tell people, say, look, I believe in you. I believe in you. Somebody's got to hear that. I believe in you. I trust you. Amen. You can make it. Come on. Come on, get up. You can go. Come on. I remember when I was young and I played soccer when I was a kid. And I could hear my daddy all the way from the stands. Come on, Kevin. You can do it. Run. Run. Kick it. You can do it. I can hear the voices. I can hear them in my head. And I hear every preacher. I hear every pastor. I hear every beautiful saint of God echoing down through time tonight. Come on. You can do it. I know you failed, but get back up. You can do it. You're good. You've got what it takes. Come on. Listen to the good voices tonight. Amen. Hear me tonight. The enemy's trying to beat you down. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to kill you, but you got to finish strong. You got to get up and dust yourself off. Say, hey, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I will, I win. He said, when I fall, not if I fall. When I fall, I shall arise. Oh, don't laugh for long, because I'm getting up. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you think I was down, you think I was out, but I'm getting up. Amen. It matters what you listen to. Let's all stand. I've told this story before, but it's so poignant. It's a true story. In October the 1st, 1975, in Manila, Philippines, there was a little fight that history calls the Thrilla in Manila. And it was between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. And if you look it up, they got down to the end. It was an amazing fight. In the 14th round, Frazier had already was already half blind in the left eye, right eye closed completely. He begs his trainer, Eddie Fuchs, to let him continue the fight. If you watch the video on YouTube, you can find it, and you see a battered and bruised Frazier saying, no, I want him, boss. I want to fight. And Fuchs was telling him, hey, you can't fight. But unbeknownst to Frazier, in the other corner, Muhammad Ali was saying, I can't go on. I can't do it. I'm done. Throw in the towel. But the reason Muhammad Ali won is because his coach was saying, I'm not throwing in the towel. You got this. You can win. Just one more round and go back out there. And history tells the tale. Frazier, his coach, threw in the towel. It matters who you listen to. Don't listen to the enemy. Don't listen to worldly people. Don't listen to the negative voices in your head. Don't listen to the echoes of the past that are telling you you can't, you won't, and you never will. But hear my voice tonight. Yeah, you can. We're not throwing in the towel. We're going to finish strong. Individually and collectively as a church, the last 41 years of history of this powerful, wonderful, beautiful church is going to pale in comparison to the remaining years between now and when Jesus comes. Amen. We're going to plant more churches. We're going to support more missionaries. We're going to baptize more people. More people are going to be healed and filled and changed and transformed in this place. Amen. Come on. We're going to finish strong. You got to go till the end. Amen. You got to run all the way through the tape. You can't stop too early. You can't celebrate early. You can't quit early. You got to keep on running. If you've fallen down tonight, get back up. Get back up and say, hey, I'm here. You may have knocked me down, but I'm back. I may have fallen once, but I'm back. And I'm going to stay. You can't get me out of here. You can't make me quit. Come on. The race is not to the swift. It's not to the strong. But it's he that endures to the end. Oh, can we come? These altars open right now. Let's determine. Let's determine that we're not changing. We're not moving. We're not going back. We're not quitting. Amen. Oh, somebody finish strong. Finish strong. Finish strong. Amen. Amen. Don't let the enemy have you. Don't let the enemy take you. Don't let him talk you into quitting. Amen. Don't let him talk you into quitting.